I'm feeling a little bit of random coming on. Welcome to this week's episode of the Juna Shalom Podcast. I'm your host, Juna Shalom. I'm a published independent author of 5 novels with number 6 in progress. I love writing. I love talking about writing and all the stuff that goes with it. It's in my nature to share my knowledge and experience with others. Much of what I've learned about the craft of writing, I've learned from other writers by reading their work, listening to them talk about their work, or reading about their process and experience as writers. The rest I've learned over the course of 35 years of writing and not writing and the School of Hard Knocks. In my podcast, I hope to share my knowledge with the goal of providing other writers with new tools, help them sidestep common and uncommon landmines, or fine-tune their process. And with that in mind, let's get started. Howdy doody. That sounded funny, didn't it? Well, when I was growing up, the Howdy Doody show was kind of a thing. But it didn't sound so funny then, but howdy doody. Hello. Yeah, so today I'm feeling random. Yeah, I'm really random. I'm excited about a lot of things, but let's just start off with the weather. Part of this little twinkle in my toes is 50 degrees outside. I've got windows open in my abode, and it just sounds glorious. So if you hear the sounds of trucks or dogs barking or sirens or whatever, that's because I'm open to the air today. Hopefully that won't happen, but you never know. You never know. Civilization has a way of being a little bit noisy. So it's in the 50s, like I said. Tomorrow we're supposed to get a coating of snow up to an inch. But you see, at this time of the year, generally speaking, I've been wrong before. And it's made me a liar before. But around this time of the year, when we get a snowfall, we know we're not in for 2 or 3 more months of it. You see? We know, at least we hope, that inch will be gone by the afternoon or the next day, and there's no shoveling, and it might be messy and inconvenient for a minute. And that's it. So we're getting into great weather. A little Pooch and I took a nice 3-mile hike around the lake the other day, and it was just absolutely glorious. So we're both getting a little giddy because we know that soon we'll be able to go out every day and do our walking, which we love to do. I'm also a little giddy because I am 2 chapters, so to speak. I'll explain that in a minute. 2 chapters from finishing my first draft of A Woman Like Eve. This is double-edged sword for me, because for me, the first chapter and the last chapter are really the most important part of the entire book. And I know that maybe I'm not as successful as I hope I can be with that, but that's in my mind. What happens in the first chapter will either keep your reader turning pages or end up on the shelf to be looked at maybe another day. And then the last chapter, I always write an epilogue. I'm pretty sure I do, always. That and the last chapter. So what I have left are the last chapter and the epilogue, which you can, reasonably call a final chapter, but it usually wraps things up and kind of foreshadows what might come in the next book or in your imagination if I don't write that next book. But those are important because the whole book really depends on how you end that book, that story, how you end it. And for me, now I like to watch a lot of movies. I love storytelling in that way. And perhaps in another life, I might have been a filmmaker, although it really is a tedious, laborious undertaking and involves way more people than I care to be involved with. So maybe another version of myself in another life would have been a filmmaker. But suffice it to say, I have watched a lot of movies and there's nothing worse to me. I mean, maybe you've heard a screeching that you didn't understand. What's that from? Where's that coming from? What is that horrible sound? That's me at the end of a horribly ended film. It seems to be the trend right now, and I can't stand it. It's lazy. It's not arty, people. It's not artsy. No, it's horrible. It's laziness. It's like, well, we couldn't figure out a way, or we ran out of money, or we're just going to be intriguing. No, it's terrible. And I refuse to do that to my reader. So I'm at that point, you know, I got to the point where I was at two chapters. I looked at that and I went, oh no. Yeah, I should have been excited, but I went, oh no. Because I know that those are the two of the three most important chapters of the book, or maybe four, because I always do a prologue and then the first chapter. So those two first chapters and the last two chapters, they're everything. If you tell the story in the middle right, and you don't do those two things on the either side, first of all, if your first, second or third chapter are not interesting and intriguing enough to pull your reader in, to suck them into the story, they're not going to read the rest of the book, and therefore your last chapter is a moot point. Because the likelihood of your reader not finishing past those first few chapters is pretty high. If they're good and you tell a pretty good story throughout the book, and then you get to the end and you go, you know what, I'm too lazy to figure out a good ending, or I'm too lazy to polish this and make it, you know, really great for my reader, chances are your reader's not going to read another book. It's just a fact. So, yeah, this is a really... This is a really kind of nerve-wracking time for me, but it's also, for me, it's also where if I let it, my muse comes through for me. I guess that it sounds like I'm giving up control, but it's not. I'm really just letting the creative aspect of my personality to have control and do its thing without me kind of trying to control it. And that's a really important thing to understand about the creative process. When a lot of times when artists try to force something, whether they're under a deadline or they're trying to do something that is outside of their ability or something like that, and you try to force what you're doing, it just doesn't turn out well. But if you allow your creative self to do what it does best, and that's be creative, then the likelihood of you making something interesting or exciting or amazing or wonderful, or, you know, pick an adjective, your likelihood of doing that is much higher. So that's where I am with the book. And of course, when I get to this point, I start thinking about the cover, and I know what I want do with the cover. It may be outside of my ability, and then I start having to think about somebody else doing it, and then I hate that, because trying to get my idea into somebody else's head is so difficult. It really is a difficult thing for me, and every single time I've tried it, I end up just throwing up my hands and saying, never mind, I'll just do it myself. Because, you know, you're also dealing with artists. And a lot of times artists who do things for hire are not doing that because that's what they do. They're doing that because that's what they have to do to pay bills or whatever. So they're fighting with that creative person inside. And you don't want them to be fighting with their creative person who wants to be creative, but you want what you want. And you see where I'm coming from? Art, it's an interesting little gig. So let's see, there's that. Oh, and okay, so I start thinking about the cover, and then I also know that as soon as I type the end, or not quite the end, I like to play with the ending end, the ending phrase a little bit in my books, because I'm writing a series, mostly, it's not the end, it's just the beginning, or kind of getting close to the end, or whatever. But when I type those words, I know that the next thing I have to do is edit. And the first pass of editing is me going through and reading the book and saying, oops, I need some description there because obviously I know what's going on, my reader doesn't. Or I've left out a detail from a previous book that would be quite helpful to a new reader. And even a previous reader, because I don't know if everybody's like me, I don't remember anything after I've read it. I mean, I remember certain things, but I really do have just a terrible memory. And so, you know, if I'm reading another book in a series, it's really helpful for me when the author decides to remind me of what I should be, aware of. So I'd go through that and I do that. And then, of course, I'm going to pick up little typos that I missed along the way, dropped words. That happens a lot. I don't know why. Quotes, end quotes and open quotes and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes those get lost in the mix. So I'll do that. And then I'll start, as I do that, I start thinking about how I want to organize these chapters. Do I want them to run chronologically, or do I want to mix them up and make it a little bit more interesting for the reader? And also it's a way to create kind of a page turner situation where you can't wait to see what happens next and you turn the page and, oh, we're doing something else, but then you get sucked into that quite quickly. And then you turn the page and, oh, you're back where you thought you wanted to be before you got in the chapter, you know? So, but there's an art to that, and you don't want to overdo it. And you don't want to annoy the reader. You want to make kind of a flow. And so I'll start thinking about that as I'm reading through the first time. If I haven't decided what I want to do with the flow yet, I'll start doing a light pass with the Pro Writing Aid. It's a program that I started using several years ago. I love it so much. I'll tell you more about that in a later episode, but it really, I can't emphasize enough how much it's helped my writing just in general. So when I first started using it, I was just amazed at some of the things that I had been doing. Like, oh, this is actually terrible. It cleaned up my writing a lot. But what I found is with each subsequent book, I think I've been using it. I think this might be my fourth book. I can't remember. Each subsequent book, I've had to rely on it less and less because I learned the lessons that the program either taught me or reminded me of, or made me aware that I had just kind of totally forgotten about. So it just kind of tightened up my writing a lot. So I'll talk about that a little bit more for maybe next episode or when I actually start that process. And, okay, so also one thing I keep wanting to mention, and that is characters' language. Now, in my experience, personally and other writers I've known, we're all kind of, I use this term loosely, obviously, for obvious reasons, we're kind of grammar Nazis. So not that we, you know, make, you know, get mad or correct people all the time, but do we want to correct language all the time? Yes. It's really difficult when you know the correct way to use words and stuff, and people are just like completely oblivious whether they're writing something or whether they're saying it. Usually when they're writing, you know that they have no concept of the right form, to, or there. It's quite tempting in writing, and I'm speaking from personal experience, and I've had to just kind of correct myself, or early on I did, to make people speak correctly in their conversation, and people just don't. And so you really have to listen to people speaking and let your characters, first of all, be consistent. Now, I know, like, Dot is a perfect example. Dot Baverstock, one of my favorite characters and a reader favorite. She's an educated woman from the South. But when she's feeling lax or goofing around and stuff, she'll drop her cheese, she'll use inappropriate words like ain't and stuff like that. But when she's in a professional setting or with her other friends, she'll go back to what I guess you would call an educated level of speaking. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But, you know, she knows proper English. That's a character issue. But if you have a character who just, you know, speaks a certain way, you have to be consistent with that, and you can't put your rules on them. You can't put their language rules on them. Otherwise, you end up with a very dry conversation where there's no personality. Does that make sense? One of the earlier books that I read, or two of them actually, that really opened my eyes to this, and there are writers and scholars who are against this type of thing, and that is when I read Mark Twain's book, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. The language at first was very difficult for me to read, but, you know, I'm like this suburban kid on the West Coast. I have no idea about different cultures and different dialects and all that kind of stuff. And if he had written that without all the dialect written out, I would have had no idea that there was this stark difference. The same when I read Gone with the Wind. You know, some of it was almost impossible to read as a little kid, but, you know, when I finally did hear it, like when I saw the movie and stuff, I was like, oh, okay, there it is. So there are writers and scholars who say you shouldn't do that. You should let the reader infer the language. I disagree. You're trying to create a character out of words and descriptions. And there's no better description than language, I think. So that's my personal opinion. Do with it what you will. Of course you're going to. I mean, you're an artist, or you're not a writer. You're just here. Let's see. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, yes. In reference to last week's episode about free speech, it's so very interesting that I've read in various places that people now who use the word free are, I mean, I'm kind of flabbergasted by the whole thing. People who use the word free or insist on exercising their freedoms are now considered by certain government entities as terrorists. What? Yeah. So I'm expecting a knock on my door any day now. Not really. But it's a sad state of affairs when people aren't allowed to express their own opinions and have the freedom to do so because, you know, when people aren't allowed to do that, it's because the people who don't allow them to do that are afraid that they might influence other people to not listen to them and might start thinking for themselves. And this is, we're in dangerous times. And, you know, as an artist, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to keep doing what I do art-wise, but that really kind of threw me after, you know, posting my rant about free speech. It's fine. I'm not taking it back. I will never take it back. I believe in being able to speak your mind and having a different opinion. I believe in that. And I'm not going to bend to a government or people. There are people who insist that you do what they want, because if you don't, they're somehow threatened by it. It boggles my mind. Actually, I'm going to share something with you. I found this in my travels, and it's a short little story, and it goes like this. A snake began to chase a firefly that only lived to shine. The firefly stopped and said to the snake, "Can I ask you 3 questions?" The snake said, "Yes." "Do I belong to your food chain?" The snake said, "No." "Did I do anything to you?" The snake said, "No." "Then why you want to devour me?" The snake replied, "Because I can't stand to see you shine." Moral of the story, often some people can't stand to see you shine, and that's why they act like snakes, silent and ready to destroy you. I saw that and I thought, that's in a way what's happening with people who want to shut down voices. Like, you're not allowed to question what we say. You're not allowed to dispute what we say, and you're not allowed to shine in doing so, because that will take the spotlight from us. And I found this true, not just in the current situation, in art as well, where instead of, you know, just not caring about your art and moving on, or caring about what you're doing and moving on, people have to destroy you. It's a sad state of affairs, but be aware of it. That's all. Just be aware. All right. I think that I have said everything I'm going to say about the random thoughts flying around in my head. If you want to get on my mailing list, go to my website /opt-in, and you can get on it right there. And that way, if like last week I had terrible time doing the video and stuff because I had such a terrible, terrible migraine, good times. And I was able to let my readers know that are on the list that, hey, this is what's going on. And then when I did post the videos, I let everybody know, here they are. Well, here it is in various places. And that brings me to another thing. I am going to start posting on Odyssey as well. It's a new video site. And still getting good response from the video channels. So that's awesome. And let's see, if you want to contribute to my work, please go to my website, and there you'll see where you can donate. A tip jar where you can buy me a coffee, a gallon of gas, a tank of gas. Oh, that would be super swell. Whatever you want to do, if you like my work and want to support it. Also, you can go on my website, and there you can find links to where to get my books. If you are interested in this upcoming book, you might want to catch up if you haven't before. Oh, and by the way, those, I think 2 or 3 of my paperbacks are deeply discounted on Amazon. I don't know why. I don't know why they've decided to take my largest and more pricey book and slash it down to actually below wholesale costs. It's just blowing my mind. So it might be a good time for you to take advantage of that. All right. All that. I'm going to say so long for now. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining me and listening. If you have anything to say about it, you can always comment on Spreaker or any of the other streamers. Like, share, comment. Those are all helpful to me. I appreciate you. I'll see you next week.